Folks, you know sometimes when there's people in life that just look cool, and then you meet them and, well, they're not as cool as they look. Well, this week's episode of the Wrestling Podcast is going to be an entirely different affair, because we're talking to somebody who looks really cool and is really, really fucking cool. That's right, ladies and gentlemen, it's an interview special of this, the Wrestling Podcast. That's wrestling spelled W-R-S-T-L-I-N-G. It's all of the graps without the E. But of course, me and G, we're not anti-E, we are simply pro-wrestling. My name is Liam, this man is Gareth.
Hey.
And you, my friends, are on the Inside the Ropes Podcast Network. We thank you, as always, for hanging out with us. And we've got a really fun episode this week, because I'm not fibbing, we're doing more ice ribbon. We have the toxic spider herself, Tekla, on the show for a feature-length interview. And Gareth, this was a really lovely conversation, was it not?
Oh, it was. It was so much fun. I really enjoyed this. You know, I'd almost not known quite what to expect from Tekla, but she, no matter what it was I thought I was getting, she over-delivered.
Yeah, and it kind of carries on a little theme as well, where we spoke to Balianaki and we spoke to Yappy, people that have taken a very interesting route to wrestling full-time in Japan, and this very much continues that theme. But anyway, it's quite a chunky interview, so let's get straight into it. Without any further ado, from Ice Ribbon, this is Tekla. And here we go, folks. As advertised, a very exciting interview here with Ice Ribbon star, the Toxic Spider, Tekla. Thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you very much for having me.
We've been looking forward to this one and really appreciate Yappy helping us to set this one up as well. So big ups to Yappy. Shout out to her.
Yeah, she's really good at connecting people.
She's the really best. Oh, yeah. Helpful. So, so helpful. All right. We've got loads to get through here. So we'll try and bash through, because I don't want to take up too much of your time. So Gareth, do you want to set the ball rolling, mate?
Yeah, absolutely. So one thing I kind of noticed is you've been really lucky and you've managed to stay super active in wrestling through almost the entirety of the pandemic. How important has that been to you?
I mean, it's a game changer, really. I was extremely lucky, to be honest. I was in Vienna. I was in Vienna, Austria at the beginning of last year. And I knew that I was going to be in Japan for 6 weeks. And that was right before, like, there was, you know, the people were already like thinking, oh, Corona was starting to get bad, but, you know, nobody knew it was going to be that bad. So shit hit the fan back at home. And that's when I decided to, okay, you know what? I think I'm going to stay in Japan. So that was, it was just supposed to be 6 weeks and it turned into more than 6 months.
Gosh.
So, yeah. And I didn't even have intentions of living here for such a long time. But as I said, it was quite a game changer. I'm very happy. It actually kicked off a lot of things for me.
Yeah,
absolutely.
That's great news.
That is great news.
So yeah, I gather you trained in Austria under, is it Humongous?
That's right.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Can you tell us a bit about how you fell into wrestling and how you found the whole training process?
Right. So wrestling, I never knew anything about wrestling up until I was like in my late teens, I think. Wow. The first time I got into contact with wrestling, I was like 18 or 19 years old. Gosh. And I used to go to a lot of punk gigs with my friends. We would go to concerts like 3 or 4 times a week. And then I've told the story 100 times, but we saw this crazy poster, and it was called Rock and Roll Wrestling Bash. And it just looked fucking cool. And we were so intrigued. And we were just like, hey, we like rock and roll, maybe like wrestling as well, you know? And then we went to the show, and you had obviously the wrestling, which was completely new to us. And you had rock and roll bands playing in between the matches, and it was completely insane. Never seen anything like it before. Yeah, it was a complete new experience of entertainment, of you know we all love wrestling, you know how the different different aspects of entertainment, like sport and the music and the entrances and the costumes, you know, it's like this perfect bomb of entertainment. It was like, wow, how did I not notice this up until now, you know? And from then on, we were just, you know, just started to get into WWE, just started to be like, hey, what else is there in Vienna, you know? And then we found this underground wrestling. It was like sort of like a in a cellar.
Oh, wow.
Like these little shows packed, people going like wild. And it was on a Sunday evening, you know, people coming from probably like the latest party, you know, still drunk going there. You know, it was wild, you know, and we became fans of that. So I would go watch these little underground wrestling shows like every 2 months until one night, me and my crowd, we were like, oh, like, yeah, hey, let's all become wrestlers. How cool would that be? You know? And then I ended up being the only one going to training. And
I love it.
And once I went to training, I was like, okay, this is pretty brutal. I'm gonna be back next week. I loved it right away. It was great. I have a background, like a little background in Kung Fu, like fighting, and I was always into sports in my childhood and like teens. It was just it was the perfect thing for me.
Mm.
And there it all started, really.
Amazing. So is there, beyond yourself and then the very obvious Volta, is there much of a wrestling scene in Austria?
Not really, I think. I mean, it's all starting to come together. I do have a feeling that more people are getting interested in wrestling. As when it comes to wrestlers, I think I'm one of the like 5 or 6 female wrestlers that have come out of Austria, maybe. Mm. And there's a couple of male wrestlers as well. I wouldn't call it quite a scene. It's a small scene.
Yeah,
for sure.
But it sounds like it's growing, which is really positive to hear.
Yeah, that is
great. Absolutely.
You've kind of forged a bit of a path there then.
I do like to think so, actually. I mean, I have also some female colleagues, of course. They're like, you know, they, and also the males, you know, they can, they're seeing me like, and they go like, wow, she came from our place, you know, she came from our town, and now she's in Japan, you know. It's like, so it is possible, you know. Mm. You know, when you're like, you're starting out, you're thinking, you know, I have my dreams, but this is so, you know, it's silly. Like, how am I ever gonna achieve that? It all seems impossible, you know, up until you have somebody who is just standing next to you 1 second, then the other second, you know, I'm over here now, you know. They're like, wow, so it is doable, you know. And I think that that did motivate a couple of people, you know. At least I've been told so.
That's really,
it's like,
cool.
Wow, yeah,
that's a positive.
That's very exciting to hear.
Yeah.
Okay, so that, I suppose that brings us nicely onto Ice Ribbon then. So how did that link up even begin?
My Humongous, my trainer that you've mentioned before, he's well into traveling, and like his promotion, like the WUW underground wrestling, it's like he managed to connect a bunch of different countries. First and foremost, Japan and Austria have that connection. And then there's a bunch of other countries, you know, where you also have like underground promotions. And that's basically it. So him and another guy called Fugufugu Yumeji, they came up with the whole concept of underground wrestling. And he's the one who basically introduced me to Ice Ribbon. At the beginning, they were asking me, okay, which company would you like to go to? There's like Marvelous, there's Sendai, so on. What are you interested in? And since one of my other colleagues, Chabela, she was actually the first one to ever come to Ice Ribbon. Mm. And she did like a tryout for a month. And then she came back and she only had good things to say about Ice Ribbon. So I was like, hey, I'm going to go with Ice Ribbon. That sounds good. And that's what I did.
So you actually selected Ice Ribbon then, as much as anything?
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that's really cool. Okay, interesting. And so how did you find moving to Japan? I mean, was that a bit of a culture shock?
Well, no, I don't, not really. I mean, I've lived in a bunch of places. I like being in new, you know, I like stepping out of my comfort zone. I like spicing it up a little bit. So, I mean, the first time I was here, that was like 2017, 18. That's when I had my first match ever in Japan. It was actually my fourth match in my whole career. So I was green as hell. That was like the first of January 2018 was my first match ever in Japan.
Gosh, wow.
Yeah, and then 2000, yes?
I was to say, so how long had you been involved in training and wrestling to that point?
Oh, I had my debut in 2017 and I started training late 2016. So it was pretty early. I mean, I was...
What a timeline to go from debut to Japan in less than 2 years.
Yeah. Like June, I had my debut June 2017. That was my first match. Then in September, I had my second. And then, November, December, three. My third match was in December, maybe. And then Forrest is already in Japan. I was like, I did not know what I was doing in that ring. And it was barely a ring. It was a ring, but the ropes were changed. It was crazy. And I was in a tag team with three dudes who were taking good care of
me. That's good to hear.
It was brutal and I was scared, but I loved it. It was it's one of these crazy things. I was like, oh wow, I did not expect me to come this far. And even though I'm I have no idea what I'm doing here, but it's like, the adrenaline and the rush and the like, nobody's ever gonna believe the story when I get home.
No.
That's how it all started. just a rush.
Oh gosh, that's incredible.
And then 2019 I came back for my first time with Ice Ribbon, and that was, I think, I was here for 6 weeks and I loved it. And then last year I was as I said before, I was supposed to be here another 6 weeks, which turned into 6 months. And this time around, I really decided to move here. And I came back 31st of December, 2020. And now I properly decided to, okay, I'm going to live in Japan. I'm going to live in Tokyo, and this is my job. This is my thing.
That's really cool. That is really cool.
Yeah.
Gosh. So when you joined up with Ice Ribbon, I mean, what's the process for a newcomer? Do you need to train with them initially, or do they just throw you in?
Oh yeah, of course. I mean, you don't have to, I guess, especially when you're an outsider. I came here as a freelancer. By now I've become a full member of the roster, but before, as an outsider, you can sort of choose. But for me it was first time in ring experience, to be honest. I didn't know much. I didn't really know what I was doing. Back at home, we only trained with on mats, and all the most of the matches were without ropes, So, and we didn't have a bouncy ring, anything, So I was like, I was hungry to learn all that stuff. I was looking at the other girls, when I first came here, and I was like, holy shit, this is gonna be a lot of fucking work for me, because I was so far behind, And I was, as I said, I was hungry. I didn't miss a single session, I was hungry for it. I wanted to know everything. But you don't have to, I guess. I don't know. I love training, so I don't mind. I go to all the sessions. Nobody has to make me do it.
Amazing. How does the approach to wrestling and training, do you think, differ between Europe and Japan in your experience? Were there any habits you had to drop from making the transition?
Oh yes, of course. Oh man, it was hard. Because the thing is, I didn't know how to bump, and it might sound crazy, but I didn't know how to do a proper flat back bump, because since we didn't have a bouncy ring, and we did everything on flat mats, we learned to do the side bump, So I didn't, and they were like, okay, no, your side bump is all cool and stuff, but you can't do it here, you're here now, you gotta adapt, So, but there's muscle memory that came into the way, So I tried to learn how to do the flat back bump, and it took me forever. And I was crying and crying in the ring and crying in my room. It's like, I can't do it. It was hurting. The longer you can't do it properly, the more you get hurt. The more it's like, your whole head's shaking, the more, it's just horrible. So I finally learned how to do that, you know. That was the biggest problem, because the back bump is just, you know, if you can't bump, you know, there's not, you can't work your way around, but it's so essential.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, obviously other stuff like that, you know. And they're back at home, you know, a move would we would be able to do a move a lot sooner than here, you know what I mean? So okay, that sort of looks like a drop kick, I guess. Maybe you're good to go. Do whatever you want to do, you know. I mean, that's my promotion at least, you know. But here it's like, yeah, no, you gotta tilt your foot a little bit, you know, more. Here, okay. It's like, you know, it's like, really? This is, you know, they're very, they, you know, it has to be perfect before, and which makes absolute sense, you know. We want to be safe. Things have to look good, you know. There is no sloppiness. Mm-hmm. So that's that was a huge difference for me too, you know.
Yeah, there seems to be like a real emphasis on having all the fundamentals like absolutely perfect in Japanese wrestling.
Yes, and it's a great approach, you know. That's how I think, that's how you don't get hurt, you know. That's how things look crisp, you know. It's like also the way that you can only debut if you have the basics, you know, and then it takes a couple of years until you're allowed to do other stuff. I do resonate with that, even though it's not the way I was, you know, I was trained, but I like the way the Japanese are doing that, you know?
Yeah. So one thing I've really noticed since I started watching Ice Ribbon is there seems to be a real emphasis on pinning combinations. And it's not always finishers getting the job done in matches. And I just wondered, is that something they kind of drill as like the house style of Ice Ribbon? Or is it just pure coincidence that that's something I'm noticing?
Pinning combinations. I think it's coincidence, really, to be honest. I think it's not a special style. I think, I don't know how that comes about, really. I don't think I do that. It seems to be coincidental.
Yeah. It's a style I really like, though, that, you know, it doesn't necessarily have to be a big impact move to, it's kind of like a cumulative thing, and then a really amazing pin, and that's all it takes.
Mm.
Yeah. Yeah, I was surprised by that. I didn't know much about pins because underground rules, we don't have pins. Don't ask me about it. It's just like I come from a completely different, you know, background, you know. So like seeing a roll up here, I was like, hey, what, you know, how do you do that you know. So of course I was super amazed, like, whoa, these girls are so quick, and then one, you know, there's, you know, foo, you know, and then all of a sudden 1, 2, 3, if it's over, it's like, wow, this is amazing. That's how I was thinking at the beginning. But it's maybe it's Joshi style in general. Yeah. Maybe, I don't know. Maybe. It's just a.
I do really appreciate it, just because it kind of feels then that a match could finish at any point. Like, I always feel on the edge of my seat watching Joshi, because I'm like, who knows, you know, when this is gonna finish. But, you know, even to the point last night, I was just, again, just for a bit of research, I was watching you versus Suzu, and, you know, what finished in that singles match, what finished you was a really fancy pinning combination from Suzu.
Yeah. With which match did you see?
I think it was from episode 1064. Are you versus Suzu?
Suzu.
Yeah.
Oh, that was last year, right?
Yeah, last year.
Yeah, for sure. I do like that too, because as you said, you never know, and it keeps you just, you know, hot to see. Oh, when's it gonna happen? Mm-hmm. You never know. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, well, European or Western style, it's like, oh, I can see from a mile that he's about to hit his finish. You know?
Yeah.
So yeah, it's different stuff.
You know, I could imagine like crowds don't really start getting into a match until those starter moves start getting hit. For kind of maybe Western audiences, we're like, oh, okay, you know, John Cena hasn't hit the AA yet, so, you know, I have no reason to care. I've no reason to think this match is going to finish anytime soon, you know, for instance. Whereas Joshi, it's just like, who knows?
Yeah.
So
no, absolutely.
But that's just something that, you know, from our new and recent exposure to more and more Joshi, like, that's, I think that's something Liam and I have really picked out as a thing we particularly like about it anyway. I just wondered if it was something that was drilled into you, or from speaking to Yappy previously, she mentioned that you needed to pass certain physical tests before being allowed to wrestle. Or she certainly did. You know, as a as an import from outside of Ice Ribbon, were you subject to the same requirements? Did you have to do the drills and do, what was it, like 25 laps or something?
It sounded horrific, to be honest with you. It made me tired just listening to her.
Yeah, what is it actually? What did she say? I mean, I'm going, to answer that, no, I didn't have to do that. What are the requirements?
Gosh, what did she say, Gareth? It was something about the rope
running.
What are
the requirements? Like 100 squats?
Yeah.
500 squats?
All of that.
Rope running.
Yeah. Rope running, amount of rope running, 20 seconds or something. Yeah, yeah. It just sounded impossible, but fair play, you know, amazing.
Yeah, I mean, I would have loved to do that, actually, to be honest. I'm pretty much into those sort of challenges, and as with the amount of training I do, I probably would have been fine doing that sort of stuff, you know. I would have loved to see if I can do it, but and also the story's pretty good, and you get super fit, you know, I mean, because you train for that moment, and you get drilled, and you learn so much about yourself, and you have to push yourself to the edge, you know. I do enjoy that, you know, even though it's tough, but you come out as a different person, you know, and you can be proud of yourself, you know, that fuck yeah, I did it, you know. I do like that sort of feeling, you know. But I didn't have to do it, so God, I might ask them to make me do it at some
put you
point,
through the test,
but... let us know how it goes. Yeah.
So, I don't feel like a proper member. Let me go through hell, please.
Did you have any kind of grasp of the Japanese language before you turned up, or is that something you've had to learn on the fly?
I did go to a short Japanese class thing before I first came to Japan.
Oh, amazing.
Before I first came to Ice Ribbon. That was like 2 months or something, but it wasn't much. It was just the basics, like konnichiwa and sayonara and stuff like that. But I was also learning by myself. I was using this app like Duolingo, and I was, you know, as I like languages a lot, and as I said before, I did live in a couple of in a few countries before. I do like to be able to communicate with people.
Of course.
And I don't have a hard time like picking up new stuff. It's like, I used to live in the States. That's where I learned English, basically. Okay. Back at home, we speak German. I used to live in Spain, so I do speak a bit of Spanish.
Jeez,
wow. Really well traveled then.
yeah. So I was like, yeah, man, I'm super interested in the Japanese culture. I mean, as a lot of people are, and I was like, hey, I would like to be able to speak Japanese, you know.
Amazing.
So I did, but just basics, you know. It wasn't much. Right now I'm still learning, but it's going well, I think. Like there have been huge improvements for sure.
That's cool. So how did you find wrestling with people that you couldn't necessarily communicate with right off the bat? So I suppose when you first got there, you probably didn't have dropkick or what have you in your vocabulary. So how does that work for a foreign wrestler?
I mean, luckily we do use our bodies for our work, you know. So it's like, it's a lot of, you know, you show things with your hands and your feet, and it's like, but I think the biggest challenge is the fact that they would call something that I call a suplex, they would call a brainbuster, you know. And what they call a suplex is what is a suplex? It's like a, you know, it's something else. I would say suplex, and they're like, suplex, you know. And it's like in a match, it's like, shit, this is not going the way I thought it was gonna go, you know. It's it's basically that, but you pick that up. And at the beginning, my moveset wasn't very huge, you know. There was a couple of things I could do, and then you go from there, really. And I like to write things down also, you know. Like there was so many things, like all the basics that people have to do here before they can even do their debut, you know. I didn't know most of these things, you know. There was like 10% of that I could do, you know, because just this, the style that I was wrestling back at home was completely different, different thing, you know. Very, very mat based, a lot of chain wrestling, you know, a lot of submissions, obviously, and then a couple of things you can do. You know, you just have to just imagine a place where you don't have ropes.
Yeah.
And people are just looking at you from one side, you know, and you know, there's just so much you can do, and you have to excite people still, and it's a lot slower. Oh my God, you know how it is, you know, like a Western European style is just tendentially compared to Joshi style a lot slower.
Sure.
So I had to speed up, you know, speed up, girl.
So fast.
We don't have all day, you know.
That is interesting. So I suppose on that same subject then, I mean, in terms of being a foreign wrestler or gaijin, how has that experience been? And are there sort of advantages and disadvantages in your eyes?
Yes, for sure. I mean, as a gaijin, as an outsider, you get away with a lot of stuff, I guess, you know, like it's, we don't speak the same language. I'm not going to bother, you know, explaining that to you now. You know what I mean? That sort of thing. Disadvantages are obviously that, you know, because I came here as somebody, I want to know everything, I want to learn everything, you know, and it's, sometimes there's this huge language barrier, and I'm like, I have to find that information somewhere else, you know. I have to talk to people who understand me, or I go the long way asking my trainers, like, okay, you know, with the little Japanese that I'm speaking, or the little English that they speak, you know. So this can be quite hard, and also the fact that, you know, I'm here, I'm part of the family, sort of, you know, I am, but as a foreigner, you're never gonna be Japanese. Obviously, you're never fully gonna be part of the whole being Japanese experience, you know. And also the fact that I didn't have to go through the hierarchy, you know, the senpai kohai system. I didn't start at the bottom, you know. I just crashed somewhere in the middle, you know what I mean? Now I find myself in that system, obviously, but I'm never gonna know what it feels like to be at the lowest, you know what I mean?
Sure.
And that is obviously, this is an advantage for me, you know, because there's a lot of stuff I didn't have to do. But on the other hand, I miss the fact that I'm never gonna be fully able to grasp what it means, you know, to start from there. But yeah, and then there's the obvious, you know, also as a foreigner, you're, you know, especially because of the language barrier, you're never gonna be able to get over with the fans as much, you know, because they can't relate to you, they don't understand what you're saying. So you have to try harder, I feel, you know, and yeah, it's a bit, it can be very difficult, but I try not to think about that sort of stuff. You know, I don't, at some point I would like to be able to speak Japanese, and I would like to be part of the whole thing. You know, I don't want to be considered a gaijin. I don't want to be considered a gaijin.
Sure.
I don't want to be considered an outsider coming in, you know, at some point. I don't want to be an alien here. At some point, I don't want to find myself on the list for best foreign wrestlers. I want to find myself on the best Joshi wrestlers list.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, yeah, absolutely. And that's a lot of different work, because that's stuff that is outside of the ring. You know, this is me sitting down and learning Japanese. This is me sitting down and, or, you know, having like a circle of friends of Japanese people, you know, understanding the culture, you know, being a real part of it, you know, and also maybe dropping some stuff that I know from back at home, you know, because to be part of it, you gotta be a real part of it, you know.
Makes interesting sense. Yeah, we found it so interesting learning sort of all about this kind of transition from Yappy, and we've spoken to Bali and Aki as well.
Aki, and that's a fun fact for you guys. I had my first match that I told you about before, the underground match, my fourth match ever that I had in Japan. Aki was my opponent.
That's true.
He was in the other tag team, yeah. So
it's a small world.
Oh gosh, that's so cool. Yeah. How funny.
Yeah, he was slapping me around that day. I can remember that very well.
Oh, fantastic. That is interesting.
Anyway, please continue with your question.
But yeah, it's been so interesting sort of learning about, you know, how they've found their way to Japan and finding their way in Japan. So for instance, has it been useful for you having Yappy around, as she's got a shared experience, you know, if not identical, but somewhat similar to yours?
Oh yeah, of course. I mean, I can always go to Yappy and ask her about stuff, you know, it's like, especially like legal stuff also, you know, because it's not that easy to be around here in Japan.
I'm sure.
You know? I mean, the Japanese aren't even used to people who don't speak Japanese. So there's a lot of, you know, she's very helpful with, when it comes to communicating with people and when it comes to, you know, paperwork also, and also to, you know, my way around. But actually the number one person who helped me the most, when I first got here was, I'm not sure if you, maybe you're familiar with her, Jayla Dark, because you're
Scottish lady.
Yeah. Jayla, when I first came to Ice Ribbon, Jayla was also here. She had she used to be with Ice Ribbon, you know, she would come here for like sort of working holiday. So, and we were for like 3 weeks or something like that, we were staying in the same room. So she would tell me a lot of the things that I didn't know, like when I was super green at that point, she helped me become a little bit less green, you know? she would be like, hey, you know what, you can in Japan, you know, you can wash your hands in the toilet, you know. And I was like, nobody told me where the bathroom was. I was like, oh, in the toilet. She's like, I don't know what's going on, but you know, she's like, hey, you know, over there, that room over there, there's a bathroom. Please don't wash your hands in the toilet. I was like, I did not know my way around. And sure, the Japanese are very bad at you know, telling you the basics. You know, obviously because they don't understand, you know, hey, here, you know, as a gaijin, sometimes you don't know what the hell is going on. Mm. And they don't have time to explain everything. So Jayla was there to be like, hey, I've been around here. I'm gonna sit down with you and tell you what to do.
Really cool. That's
She was.
We've seen
a
bit of Jayla, Pro Wrestling Eve over here in the UK.
Oh yeah,
she's fantastic. Is that somewhere you'd be interested in wrestling? Sort of when wrestling's open again?
Absolutely, absolutely. Nice. I would love that. I've been looking at Pro Wrestling Eve for quite a while, but that was obviously before Corona.
Yeah.
Before Corona, that was like on top of my list. Oh, man, one day I definitely want to go work for Pro Wrestling Eve.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and do a bit of a UK tour. I haven't been to the UK in quite a while, so, and I've never wrestled in the UK, so that was totally something I wanted to do. And obviously the Pro Wrestling Eve brand is fantastic. They have some if not the best Joshi wrestlers as well as female wrestlers in general.
Definitely.
Yeah, for sure.
I think, yeah.
Have to tie that in with some good gigs as well, once the live music scene's back up and running.
Absolutely.
Exactly. Well, let's hope for the best, hopefully, in the near future. Yeah.
In terms of, you know, living and wrestling in Japan, has there been anything, given the chance, you'd have done differently, do you think?
No. No. I'm super happy with the way things turned out to be, actually. As I said, I wasn't expecting it. I thought 2020 I was going to be here for a while, then I'd go back to Austria, and then maybe something like a little bit of a, you know, me being on tour a bit, you know, being able to, you know, for the weekends, maybe I can go to the UK, I go to Germany, you know, do a little gig in Berlin or something, get to travel a bit, and then slowly, you know, work my way up. I was planning on going back to Japan, but I didn't think it was going to be that soon. I sort of had the dream of living in Japan. That I did hope to do that for quite a while. At the beginning of me training, you know, or maybe even before. I always wanted to go to Japan for a while. But I never thought it was gonna happen like that. You know, I was Corona actually, how do you say, sped up, you know, sure. it sped up the whole process, you know, and I don't want to say I'm happy about it, but I am happy about it.
Yeah.
I don't know. Even though it's a horrible time. I don't know. It's just a weird time, and the world's gone crazy, and you know, we're all going through a similar experience. But when it comes to wrestling and my wrestling career, this was definitely a good thing for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Weirdly, it was. Yes.
We're in the same boat because Inside the Ropes didn't have a website or a magazine and only had a handful of podcasts before the pandemic. And I think where they did a touring business before, where they weren't able to do that brought forward all the plans. So we wouldn't actually be talking to you now had it not been for the pandemic. So it is strange how it turns out like that. It's a weird thing.
I know. I know some people, you know, they had to rethink what they're doing or come up with new ideas. And I think that's great, you know. Mm. Also for you guys, you know, it's like the pandemic is what it is, but sometimes there's chances for new things, and that is awesome, you know.
Yeah,
it's opened doors for people that maybe wouldn't have otherwise been open under normal circumstances.
That's
exactly
it.
I love how certain you were about nope, I wouldn't have changed a thing. Like, I think that just kind of speaks very much to I think it speaks to your character that you're like, no, I've made my choices and I'm happy with them, you know. And that seems to be the case across the board. You know, you went, I like wrestling, I'm going to do wrestling, and you made it happen.
Yeah.
And you've moved around, you know, you seem somebody that knows their own mind.
It's, as I said, you know, we said that before. I went back in September. I went back to Austria, and after 3 weeks or so, I was like, I didn't want to go back, to be honest. I was like, I knew in my head, if this is bad, don't go. Things are really kicking off here in Japan. You love your life here. There's no real reason to go back home. I love being here. I love the way my life turned out to be here. But I had to, it's like, you know, paperwork and shit like that. I just had to go back. And but I right away I decided, like, okay, I'm gonna apply for a visa. This time I'm gonna stay, you know. This time, no bullshitting, you know. And then Japan, you know, it took a while to get my paperwork ready. It's just, you know, that's just how it is. It takes a couple of months until everything is finished. It wasn't even up to me. But then mid-December, I finally had everything ready. It was just me booking the flight, you know. And then Japan closed the border because of the mutant virus thingy. And I knew, and I already smelled it, you know. And then closed the border, and I was like, shit, my flight is it was scheduled to be in 2 weeks, you know? And I was like, fuck, what do I do? I was like a week too late, sort of, you know? And I was like, I tried to keep it together, but I was like crying. I was like, what the fuck? I fucking missed my chance, you know? And then I read through all the articles, and then I was like, okay, everybody who already has a visa has 7 days left to enter the country.
Oh my goodness.
And I was like, okay, people, hold your horses, you know. I was like, okay, it took me 2 days. I changed my flights right away. I packed my bags. I was like, goodbye, mom. Love y'all. I'm out of here. And yeah, two days later, I left Austria. And gosh. I just knew I had to come back. And I wouldn't change anything about it.
That's lovely.
I'm super happy to be here.
It comes across, it does.
So what's life like for you outside of wrestling in Japan? Is there sort of anything in particular you get up to?
There isn't, I mean, like, since I've been back, there hasn't been, I didn't have much time actually. I had my feud with Gucci, and we were sort of, you know, winter time is sort of high season. We had a lot of events, and in between there was training, and then we had some, you know, whether it's like photo sessions or whatever. I didn't have much time. Now it's a bit easier. I have a couple of days off, which I do spend learning about wrestling. I listen to a lot of podcasts, actually. I watch a lot of matches, and other than that, I do like to meet up with my friends, go for drinks, as much as it's possible now during Corona.
What sort of stuff are you watching? Sort of what promotions do you enjoy?
Right now, I am going. I'm going through old stuff, to be honest. I do. I like today, yesterday, the last couple of days, I've been watching like old school 80s Ric Flair matches.
Oh, wow. Nice.
Yeah. So that sort of stuff. And then like a couple of weeks before, I was watching a lot of Great Muta, huge Great Muta fan, against Tajiri. Also great.
Good.
So I, right now, you know, since I started being into wrestling at such a late age, you know, I didn't grow up with it, you know. I grew up with, you know, last couple of years WWE wrestling. You know, that's what I grew up with. You know, like I don't have a base like that. You know, so there's a, I feel the need to you know start at the beginning. You know, I'm reading a Gorgeous George biography right now. You know, all that stuff. It's like, yeah. So, that's what I'm watching now. Obviously, sometimes I watch some like more recent Joshi stuff. You know, I go to a lot of the other promotion shows.
Oh, wonderful.
Can. You know, if I can get tickets. Last week, I went to Oz Academy. Do you know Oz Academy?
Yeah.
So I watched that in Shinjuku. I just, you know, I'm just sitting with the crowd and it's just like, oh, you know, studying the other people, you know? I mean, just, you know, that's what I like to do.
That's very cool.
That's so nice. It makes me really happy that when people inside the business are still just as obsessed with wrestling as those outside.
Yeah, it's just fun to me, you know. One thing is I'm trying to learn, you know. You have those matches, you have those shows where I'm watching and it's like, oh yeah, oh man, that's a great move. Oh man, I want to do that, you know. Or it's like, wow, that's the way she's doing that is beautiful, you know. And sometimes, obviously, the really good matches, I just turn into a fan myself, you know. I just it just goes click and I'm super invested and I'm just there like oh, you know, even though I'm a wrestler myself, but then I get super involved, you know, and it's like I'm a fan at heart, you know, and it's a great time for me to. I love to spend my free time doing that, you know.
That's very cool.
Yeah,
very cool indeed.
It's fun.
All right, so going back to Ice Ribbon, then during 2020, you actually defended the World Underground Women's Championship from your native in Austria. So how did that work? Did the WUW need to be consulted on defenses, or could you just sort of defend it against who you wanted? Was there much sort of talk between the two promotions?
Well, I mean, obviously, as my home promotion is super proud of the fact that I brought the belt to Japan, you know, that I'm able to represent the whole company here, you know, as a wrestler who is capable of working in ring, but also outside of the ring and, you know, with different sets of rules and that sort of stuff. So, we had to come up with, since the belt is usually defended in a place without ropes, you know, without a ring, we had to come up with a set of rules. That was the first thing. And then we had to see, it was basically Ice Ribbon being like, hey, how about, I mean, you got a belt. Don't you want to, you know, see if you can defend it against one of the Ice Ribbon girls? I was like, hell yeah, of course. Finally, you're asking, you know, let's go. Who wants a piece of this, you know? so that's how it started. And it was super fun. And, you know, when you have a belt, you also want people to challenge, you know, you want to be able to, you know, you want to be able to defend it. You want to be able to say like, nah, you know, I'm an underground wrestler. I know how this works, you know. But you know, you don't know shit, you know, until somebody proves you wrong. Obviously, I did lose second attempt. I did lose the belt for a while, you know? But I was infuriated. I was like, no, this is my game. This is my game, people. Let's do this again, you know. And then Terry took the belt, you know, and then we did the rematch and then I got it back. So that's how it goes.
Yeah, I did look on the Underground website earlier and they've got the title histories and, you know, with Cherry in there now. They probably like that because, you know, it's got a bit of international exposure. So, yeah, fair enough.
Obviously.
You sound like you'd be with your no ring wrestling experience, you sound like you'd be a natural fit for Gato Move / Choco Pro.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
If I can get some revenge on Aki.
Yeah, that's true. That has to be done at some point.
What, like 5 years in the making, the rematch at last?
Yeah. Well, we'll see what the future holds.
Who would you consider to be your biggest rivals within Ice Ribbon thus far?
Well, obviously, I had the story with Tsukushi in January and February, and that was crazy. I think that was a great rivalry for sure. Since we have a very similar style, I would say we are both very quick. She's extremely hard hitting. I can be very hard hitting, and there's a bunch of moves that we both do. I don't know. It was great to work with her for sure.
Cool.
It was very fun, and I got to torture her with my psychological warfare.
Amazing.
And she got to torture me with her extremely stiff elbows that she kicked the shit out of me, really. I mean, I have never been elbowed that hard in my whole life for sure. And it is quite a learning experience. She toughened me up a lot, to be honest. There's when you get drop kicked in the face so many times and elbowed, you know, the life out of your it's a game changer.
Yeah.
Now it's like, yeah, come on, bring it on. You know, I know what it feels like now. I'm tougher now. So now I'm up for it, you know what I mean? She is definitely a rival, but now that I think we have made up, you know, now that the title match was so great, and it was just the whole road to fighting her in Yokohama for the IWGP belt, you know, that was so exciting. And I consider that the best match of my career for sure. I mean, she really brought the best out of me, and I know that she also I got her out of her comfort zone with the way I fight, I think, but especially the way I you know, deal with press conferences and you know, make fun of her and steal her shit and steal her moves and humiliate her, you know, the best I can. This is something she was not used to, and she told me that as well, you know, and I'm happy and also proud that she got to experience that in my hands, you know?
It seems like you're such a good antagonist for Ice Ribbon.
I think so too. I was, when I first came here, I saw the girls and I saw the idol style, you know, girls are all very cute, and especially the Ice Ribbon style is very, you know, pro wrestling, be happy with pro wrestling, you know, which is so different from what I was used to back at home. You know, we do have a little bit of comedy style, but most of it is serious. You know, we're at serious bouts and we do serious promos and we kick the shit out of each other, you know, and we want to look cool. You know, we want to look strong, you know, we don't want to look cute at it, you know. So when I first came here and I saw the girls, I was like, wow, this is very different, and I will have to change. I will have to change me, and I will have to change my style. And I tried to adapt to understand what it is to be an idol Joshi pro wrestler in Japan. But it felt extremely unnatural to me. I can't be all kawaii all the time, you know. I'm not saying that all the girls are. Everybody's super different, you know what I mean? But in my head, I thought, oh, I'm here now, I have to be like that, you know. I have to be super kawaii. But you know, it was killing me inside, you know. I was like, I don't want to do this. Or maybe, but the thing is, nobody was telling me to be like that either. Nobody was, you know, it was just in my head. And then as I was evolving as a wrestler, as I was getting a bit of experience in, you know, and as I was starting to understand what I was doing, I felt like, okay, maybe I can start being myself now, you know, and I can start writing my own story. And with the ideas that came, the Ice Ribbon, you know, wrestlers also were like, yeah, hey, that's pretty cool. I mean, it's different, and it's not the way we would be doing it. But they were starting to see that the way, you know, for me, the way I'm doing things, it fits, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then and I think it's been appreciated. And I think when you have a company where everybody's very happy and very positive and very, you know, good, you know what I mean, like you know, baby faces, you know. Mm. I think there needs to be a little bit of darkness, so all of that, you know, brightness shines more. You know what
Absolutely.
I mean?
Contrast.
And I like to make that contrast in a certain way, in my way.
Yeah, no, that makes perfect sense. That makes perfect sense. You mentioned earlier about going to watch a lot of the other promotions, but of course you had a few matches in one of them in Seedling earlier mm-hmm. in the year. Is that something you plan on doing more of if you're sort of given the opportunity to do so, like wrestling and other Joshi promotions?
Yeah, as much as I can. I mean, especially Seedling is probably my, like, outside of Ice Ribbon, it's my favorite Joshi promotion. I love the people that they're getting in. They're a lot more hard-hitting also. I mean, I've worked with a couple of Seedling wrestlers. They're very strong. They're very good. They're very precise. Also, their comedy bits are good. I love working for Seedling. I like the way they do things. And yeah, right now I hope to work with a lot of different promotions. I would also like to work for Oz Academy. Obviously, they have great people too. You know, they have a lot of Joshi legends. You know, last week, you know, Aja Kong. You know, Hiroyo Matsumoto. I mean, we have those wrestlers as well with Ice Ribbon, but it's always great to see them again, you know, and not in the work environment where I might have to think about my own stuff, you know, and like, but yeah, I would love to get around as much as possible. And I'm a person who likes to travel. As I said, I like to step out of the comfort zone. I like to do new things also. So as much as I can, really.
Amazing.
Nice.
Obviously, the recent AEW women's tournament was based out of a venue that you're very familiar with.
Yeah.
So it sounds like that this is something they're going to be planning to repeat down the road. Would this be something that you would be interested in participating if given the chance, do you think?
Oh, if given the chance, absolutely. Mm. 100%. Yeah, for sure. I saw some of the matches and it was great. I was it was great to see. I actually saw that live, you know.
Oh,
I was standing. So that was great, obviously. Obviously, if I would get the chance, I would jump right in there. Those the wrestlers that were chosen for that tournament were all top class Joshi wrestlers. Mm. And AEW is also a cool product, you know. I like the way they do things, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I could see myself working for AEW at some point in the future, if the time's right and if everything else is right, you know.
Yeah.
So sure. Yeah, absolutely.
It seems like once the world opens up a bit more again, there'd be the capacity, if that did happen, to commute from Japan, so to speak. You know, still carry on doing what you're doing with Ice Ribbon, perhaps, and work AEW. That would be. That sounds like the dream to me, anyway.
Yeah, and I see the connection as well. I mean, as they were shooting their stuff here,
yeah,
and you know, and then Hikaru Shida, you know, she came from Ice Ribbon, you know,
mm-hmm.
So that would be. I mean, once everything opens up, I do hope to be able to leave Japan also for some time and go travel, you know,
yeah,
because that's just something that I love to do, and. There's a couple of places that I also want to spend a little bit of time in Mexico if I get the chance to.
Wow,
a lot of Japanese wrestlers do that. I would love to. I think lucha style is something that would really fit my style in general.
Mm-hmm.
I like a little bit of high flying. I like fast pace, you know, and I speak Spanish, so this could be,
perfect
could be
fit.
Very
I think
cool.
Your character
yeah.
work would go down the storm there, actually. Yeah, that would work really well.
I think they would get it. I think they would understand it.
I do.
For sure. Yeah. So this is something I'm really burning for, that idea. I would really want to go there. Obviously AEW, that would be great too.
Yeah.
So yeah, I hope once the things open up, and I hope yeah, I hope that that sort of stuff is going to be possible again. Mm. And I hope also that Ice Ribbon is going to let me
fingers crossed
let me go around. Yeah.
Yeah,
it'll be fine.
It's sort of it's really interesting hearing about how keen on your travel you are. Like I'm a really keen traveler as well. Like I go backpacking a lot for months and months on end. Whereabouts? Right. You said you lived in America for a while. Whereabouts in America did you live?
I lived in Kentucky.
How was that?
That was crazy.
Was it wrestling that took you there, or?
No. I was in high school.
Oh, really? Interesting.
So I did an exchange year. I was half a year. I was 15, turned 16 there. It was special. It was another cup of tea for sure. high school hell.
Yeah.
It was crazy. Yeah, but I wouldn't miss it. Let's put it that way. I did have a good time there. But
yeah,
the Americans are out of their mind. Absolutely. And I did go back there. I went to New York for travel, and I did a little bit of a road trip through the South and California, Texas.
Nice.
And Louisiana, and back to Kentucky and Tennessee, and I loved it.
That's so nice.
I was a bit older. It was a bit of less of a culture shock. I was I think 22, 23, and it was amazing. I loved it. I saw some wrestling, saw my first NXT show. That was all
cool.
Stuff where I was like, wow,
cool.
This is cool.
Yeah.
That was in Austin.
I love Austin.
Maybe. Yeah, me too. That was great.
It's one of my favorite cities over there.
Yeah, for sure. It's cool. It's rock and roll. It's like a music city.
Lots of great music.
Lots of great music. Absolutely.
Because when you said you'd kind of lived all over and you said you like your punk music, I was like, oh, I reckon Berlin maybe.
Yeah.
That's where I figured you'd maybe had lived.
I lived in Leipzig, which is close to Berlin. It's a little bit cooler than Berlin, I'd say.
Yeah.
No, I mean, Berlin is pretty cool. But when it comes to punk and DIY scene in general, Leipzig is a little bit more my thing, but Berlin's cool too.
Was it like Kurzberg? I think in Berlin is where the kind of punk stuff in Berlin seems to go down.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, Kurzberg, you said, right?
Yeah,
Kurzberg. Yeah, mainly, probably. Yeah.
I'm completely going off wrestling, but sort of, what bands are you enjoying at the moment?
Right now, I do like to listen to a lot of, I'm always all over the place, to be honest. Mm-hmm. I'm always all over the place, right? Like, I listen to a little bit of hip hop right now. I do listen to some Fat White Family, maybe rings a bell.
Yep.
British band, yeah, good friends of mine.
Oh, cool.
I went on tour with them, like, I don't know, that was even before wrestling. So that sort of stuff. Black Lips, I don't know if
you're familiar with Black Lips.
Yes, mm-hmm. A little bit. Used to be big into them, and now sort of coming back to that right now. Then I like Enka. It's like a Japanese old school music. It's like for old people and women.
Have to look into that.
And men singing about how they drink alcohol by themselves, and it's like old broken, broken relationships and everything. It's like it's music for old people, but I absolutely love it. And an 80s Japanese music, Akina Nakamori. I love that stuff. Yeah, I'm a bit all over the place. And then a lot of newer hardcore punk stuff from the States. Exchanging, and then also like Teen Generate, maybe Japanese punk from the 70s.
Cool,
all over the place.
So I'm gonna have to listen back and write all these down later. Like I'm always on the search for new music to listen to. Have you had a chance to? Cool. Do you like Shaun and Knife?
Shaun and Knife.
Yeah, so they're a Japanese band. They've been going for a long time. It's an all women, all women band. They're a bit punky, I guess, but just kind of fun rock and roll out of Japan that've been about 20 years.
Nice. Yeah, I'll have to ask my friends about that. Like they know, they like I have like a bunch of my Japanese friends are come from the Japanese punk scene, and they know Amazing. Everybody. They're like, oh yeah, I know them. Good friends, and like, oh, we played a gig together. It's like, whoa, and then you know everybody. So I'm definitely gonna ask. Yeah. What was that again?
Shannon Knife.
Yeah, I'll check that out for sure. Yeah. Thanks for the tip.
That's honestly one of the things that is interesting hearing you say your friends locally are sort of from the punk scene. I've always found that the punk scene, pretty much anywhere you go, if you're into punk, you can make new friends so quickly by just finding where the gigs are, and you've got heaps of new friends. It's the same with roller derby as well. I've brought up on the show talking to Yappy, you know, like whenever I've traveled, I've just found the local roller derby team, and I'm like, right, I've got 30 new friends now.
Nice. Yeah, you know, it's that's a sort of space that you go to where you know everybody's gonna be cool, you know, and everybody's gonna be is gonna have a certain attitude that's gonna ring with you. That's how, you know. So, yeah, punk people in Japan are not the same, but very close to punk people in the States, and I'm sure roller derby people here are, you know, as cool as roller derby people
definitely
in the UK, you know. So it's like it's pretty cool.
Okay, so we got a couple more like actual questions that we prepared, and then we'll just be
thank you so much.
Thank you so much for your time. So we're going to be covering Ice Ribbon's Kurokan tournament show on March 27th. Do you know who you're going to be wrestling as yet?
Ooh.
Or is there anyone in particular you'd like to wrestle on that show?
No, Kurokan Hall, unfortunately. Kurokan Hold Hard has not been released yet.
Mm.
I think we're having a press conference for that on Thursday.
Well, we have to keep our eyes peeled for that.
That is the thing.
We'll have to look out for that one then. We're looking forward to covering more Ice Ribbon.
Yeah. The next big show is Osaka. Mm-hmm. That's on this Saturday. This is the bigger show before Kurokan Hall. I'm not sure. I would have to look it up.
Oh, it's a
I'm
bigger
not
one.
Sure what's going on. What's going on at Kurokan Hall? Yeah, Osaka is big. Kurokan Hall is also gonna be big.
Yeah.
But yeah, as I said, nothing released yet.
If it's a double header, maybe we'll have to cover both of them.
Yeah. yeah. Osaka, and I know that I have it right here actually. I think, yeah, tag team title match. That's going to be interesting for sure. That's Yuki Himaya with Ozaki Maika against, I think it's Totoro and Itsuki. Yeah, so that's definitely going to be cool. I love Itsuki, Aoki Itsuki. I don't know how familiar you are with her stuff, but she's one of the wrestlers that I've seen recently where I'm like, oh, I love how she does things. I love her. I love her charisma in ring, and I like she's just working herself so much, you know, like her personality comes through, and it's, you know, in this is like on a side note, this is something I've noticed in Japan. Well, everything is so concentrated on the perfection of moves, you know, and the perfection of how you do things in ring when it comes to your technique. That I feel some people struggle to bring out their personality, and their gimmick is something that is not so important in Japan compared to Western European style, I like to think, you know. So seeing somebody who can bring those two things together, like personality and you know, shining bright in a ring, you know. Together with being a very good worker and having, you know, a fitting moveset and you know, and being hard hitting and cool, you know, that is something I admire a lot, you know. So and I think she's got that. So and then obviously Mayuki is a great wrestler, and Ozaki Maika is super crazy to watch her. She's so strong. It's an insane insanity. What that girl can pick up, you know, what sort of people, like two people at the same time, and then Totoro also great performer. So this is gonna be cool. This is definitely gonna be a cool title match. I'm also looking forward to watch. It's gonna be the main event of Osaka, and I'm gonna be in a six people tag match with those are always fun, you know, it's like a classic. The six people tag matches, this is where the Joshi style really comes through, I feel. You know, this is like a such a classic thing, like everything goes super fast, you know. And you have these combined roll up finishes sometimes where like, oh, I didn't see that coming at all, you know. This is I'm looking forward to see what's going on there. Sure.
Very cool. Okay, so last question before we let you go. We spoke a little bit about what you might like to do when the world opens up, but sort of more generally, what would you like to achieve in sort of the next 5 years? Where do you want to see yourself?
As I said before, right now I'm really focused on Japan. I really want to make an impact here. As I said, I mean, I'm super happy and I was so surprised that I made it on the list of top 10 foreign wrestlers of 2020 in Japan. I was like, holy shit, I did not expect it at all. And it's like, I haven't been here for such a long time, but I was, you know. So that sort of, you know, that sort of got me thinking, you know, I'm on that list, but I would like to make an impact as a wrestler, you know, as not a foreign wrestler, but as a wrestler. And I want to make it into that other list, you know, the Joshi wrestlers. Of the year, you know. That's something I really want to do, and I want to work for more companies here, and I slowly, you know, want to start having, you know, good matches that, you know, where people like, oh, have you seen that, you know, that is a great match, you have to watch that, you know. And also like make an impact in Japan. That's my number one thing. I want to make it, you know, at some point I want to be on that cover, you know.
Yeah.
And the Shukan wrestling, weekly pro wrestling, you know, I want to be on that cover at some point. And after that, we'll see, you know, once everything opens up, I want to be able to travel. I want to go to places like Mexico, but I also want to go to places like, you know, I want to wrestle in a small place in Manila if I can, you know.
True.
Go to the Philippines, or I want to go to, you know, a crazy scene in Pakistan or something like that. You know, I thrive on that, you know, or Australia, wherever I can go. Wherever I feel, hey, this is a cool scene, I wanna see that place. I wanna work in front of these people, you know, that are hungry for wrestling.
I wanna
get around. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, look, if we speak to you in 5 years and you haven't made the cover, I'll be amazed.
Yeah.
It's a sure thing. But this has been just as interesting and insightful as I thought it was going to be. So thank you so much for your time. Where can people find you online? Do you have anything you want to plug?
Give us your plugs.
Yes, you can find me on Twitter, on Instagram, and on Facebook. I think for Instagram, that is toxic_Tekla, which is Thekla, and that's the same thing for Twitter. Once again, toxic spider, toxic Tekla. And if you type that into Facebook, you're gonna find me as well. If there's still people on Facebook, I don't know. I don't know, but yeah, you can find me on there as well, and that's about it.
Perfect.
Great stuff. Wonderful. Well, thank you so much for your time again.
Thank you so much.
We look forward to talking about more Ice Ribbon.
Yes, thank you so much for having me. It was a pleasure talking to you.
And we're back. And that was our wonderful interview with Ice Ribbon's toxic spider, Tekla. It was a joy having her to join us here.
Yeah.
You know, I think maybe the coolest person we've ever interviewed.
Yeah, certainly the coolest person you or I have ever met. That's absolutely sure.
Our apologies go out to our other interviewees. You know, you've all been very cool also, but I think, yeah, Tekla just pips you all.
That was a really interesting conversation. And, you know, I love this unintentional theme of talking to wrestlers that have had an interesting route into wrestling in Japan. It's really nice. So hopefully we can continue that, because there's certainly some other guys and gals that might be interesting listens. So yeah, we'll try and bring those to you.
We're going to keep trying to provide you with the best possible interviews.
Absolutely. And speaking of which, we do have a really interesting one coming up in a couple of weeks' time, but there will be more details on that coming very soon. So stay plugged in to the podcast. Hush, hush for now. All right, guys, I think that's pretty much us done for this week. And look, I imagine quite a few of you have come to join us for the very first time just to listen to Tekla. So I want to thank you very much for doing so. If you've enjoyed it, why not come again next week? We're going to be chatting about some very cool stuff indeed. We have got the Ice Ribbon Show itself to talk about with the big main event of Fujimoto and Yuhiki. We're also going to be talking about MLW's Never Say Never show, and then Choco Pro 100, that blissful, beautiful thing. We're definitely going to be talking about that. If we've got time, may touch on some other shows. It's actually a jam-packed weekend, so we're going to do our best to cover it all, and we'll talk to you about it next week. But in the meantime, you want to stay warm with all your wrestling news, then why not follow us on Twitter and Instagram? That's at WrestlingPod, wrestling without the E. You can go to WrestlingPod.com, again without the E, for all the links you'll need. Links to listen, links to our personal Twitters, all that kind of good stuff. Also, links to our merch. However, if you want to go directly, it's shop.itrwrestling.com. We've got mugs, we've got hoodies, we've got shirts. Go check it out. Some good stuff up there. Itrwrestling.com is where you'll find Gareth and myself and the rest of the team. We're doing some big things in the Japan section, as well as on the features and the elsewhere. So do check that out. And if you want something to hold, why not check out the Inside the Ropes magazine, which is at insidetheropesmagazine.com. And that's us for this week's lovely people. So in the meantime, stay happy, stay safe, and enjoy the graps.